Welcome back to EV News Daily. Coming up today, Jeep's Recon EV gets closer, Hyundai's Insta launches in Germany, and Amazon expands its EV car shopping to 48 states. Plus, stay tuned, because later in the show, I'll tell you why CES this year will be more about software than hardware. Well, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you are in the world. Welcome to EV News Daily, your trusted source of EV information for Thursday, 12th of December. I'm Martin Lee, and I go through every EV story so you don't have to. And welcome to a new podcast producer, David Roth. Patreon supporters do get the shows ad-free and mostly with audio. Now, a massive apology to my Patreon supporters. It's all my fault. Patreon's platform has changed the way that they upload the interface. And so it used to be before, do you want to create a new podcast, video, blog, etc., image? And now it's like, do you want to create a new post? And then you attach media to that post. And so the whole workflow of the last 5 years has changed for me this week. And so twice now, I've published the podcast, but forgot to click on attach media. Ah! So anyway, I'm so sorry about that until somebody emails me and goes, you've just published just a blog with no podcast attached. Sorry. Learning how to walk and all that kind of stuff. So anyway, David, hopefully, if I don't make these mistakes again, you'll never have to be subject to my incompetence. David is a new producer. You can be like him by clicking on a link in the show notes. We'll start with news of the Jeep Recon EV. Close to production, we think. A prototype seen in public without cover. Looks a lot like the first design. Big tires, perfect for rough ground. Short overhangs, doors you can take off. Got a peek inside of it too as well, looking great. Jeep hasn't said much about the new Recon EV. Should be out in 2025, almost certainly. Might start at around $60,000. The prototype doesn't have the usual seven slots front or the other Jeep marks, but it is a boxy shape, looking like a big Wrangler. And it shows the Recon EV. Don't know exactly the details behind it, but we think it must be soon. It is, in effect, an electric Wrangler. It'll be heavier because of the big battery under the car. This powers two electric motors. Obviously, it's all-wheel drive. It should go without saying, but I'll mention it anyway. And we think that that all-wheel drive system will be stronger than anything combustion that they've done, or even the hybrids. For example, the Jeep Wagoneer S with two motors has 600 horsepower. I don't think you'd be far wrong with that configuration here. The Recon will have different suspension from the Wrangler. Should make it ride smoother. Photos show a guard plate at the back, those huge oversized tires, and some big blue tow hooks as well on both ends. And, you know, with the doors off and the roof off and proper off-roading, this will be a really interesting vehicle. Because when Jeep showed the Recon design in 2022, they said it would have glass that you can remove. And obviously you can't see that on the prototype, but there is a cloth top that rolls back, the door that opens sideways at the back as well, the spare tire on the back, looking like a Wrangler, all of that good stuff. I'll pop a link to Car and Driver in the show notes if you want to have a look at those pictures, but looking forward to that vehicle. Jeep haven't talked a lot about it, but we don't think it's very far away. Okay, now let's talk about Amazon expanding its car shopping to 48 cities. Amazon is bringing car shopping to 48 US cities. The service, called Amazon Autos, lets people buy new Hyundai cars online. And yeah, big cities like Los Angeles, Atlanta, Dallas, Miami, and New York are obviously part of the launch, but many more as well. Customers can browse, order, and finance cars using Amazon's website. They can also set up car pickups. Amazon plans to add more car brands later. Dealers will handle the actual handover process, like an agency fee. I imagine they would be getting paid for the service they provide. Now, Amazon Autos is led by Fan Jin, saying, and I quote, "Dealers are the sellers of record. So this is a new sales channel for the dealers," end quote. He added that dealers can show their cars to millions of Amazon users if they get involved. The news came out a couple of days ago. Buying cars online isn't new. Buying cars online became more popular during pandemics and when we were all locked down and ordering a lot of stuff online. It seemed like no end of things that we would buy on the internet. And now, companies like CarMax and Carvana, Auto Trader, they facilitate buying cars online. Tesla, of course, is very famous for that direct model. We go online, there's no negotiation or haggling. It's like buying anything else off Amazon. You just click buy now. And well, that's exactly what you can do. Hyundai dealers who tested the service earlier this year are part of the launch. These tests, they say led to faster sales. Now people can try it out. 80% of Hyundai's 841 dealers are opting in. Amazon will add more Hyundai dealers and cities too. They'll also add test drives. More banks will offer financing options, and dealers will pay to list their cars on Amazon, but the early ones won't have to pay. Amazon's trust with customers is what I think some of the dealers are hoping will get people over the line, or even through the virtual showroom doors, as it were. So obviously lots of people trust Amazon, you know, hundreds of millions of transactions, you would think a week probably. Buyers can search for cars, you can get financing, you can even digitally sign all the paperwork. Prices won't change once a buyer applies for credit or puts a deposit down. Trade-ins are valued online, but they do get finalised at the dealership. That's quite a common model anyway. So let's see how that goes. Right, let's talk about Australia right now. Australia hits 100,000 EV sales in 2024. EV sales in Australia hit 100,000 this year, up from 98,000 last year. The Electric Vehicle Council, the EVC of Australia, shared the data. Sales will obviously grow more because the year isn't over yet. Aman Gower from the EVC said that this year was big for EVs in Australia, saying, and I quote, "Reaching an annual milestone of 100,000 EV sales is a clear signal that Australians want modern, sustainable cars that are fun to drive," end quote. EV sales stayed strong despite money worries, economy worries with some people. Gower said that this was due to cheaper models arriving in Australia, more car types, and government help, noting that EVs can save money. He said, "One of the easiest ways to save money right now is by driving an electric car. Australians can save thousands of dollars a year by avoiding high petrol prices and expensive mechanics costs from petrol cars." He also thinks EV sales will keep growing in 2025. The new vehicle efficiency standards will help. It'll bring more cheaper options and better access to low and zero emission cars. Wanting the government to offer more help to make EVs cheaper, add more charging spots, and update rules to grow the industry to make local jobs. That's fantastic. And we'll stay with Australia, actually, because GridServe, a big UK EV charging company, GridServe is coming to Australia. They're joining up with Flow Power, an Aussie energy firm, to build the Flow Power Highway. This will be a network of fast EV chargers across the country. Over here in the UK, GridServe's chargers power, they say, 250,000 EVs a week with 6 million kilowatt hours of clean electricity. Flow Power is new to EV charging. They usually sell renewable energy to business and homes. The CEO said, and I quote, "EV charging is a natural extension of Flow Power's mission to empower Australians to actively participate in and benefit from the energy transition. They want to make it easier for people to own EVs by fixing the charging problems and range worries that some have." And the CEO of GridServe, Toddington Harper, says here from GridServe Global, which must be their new name or parent company or group company, wants to build a world-class sun-to-wheel EV charging network. Now, I've met Toddington a few times, interviewed him once on the podcast before, opening up one of their GridServe stations, you know, where they have the canopies and like 40, 50 chargers and stuff. And, you know, he definitely is someone who looked like they had three brains on the go at once, very much like dealing with the issue of, we've just put chargers in the ground and that new Tycon I can see is, you know, not doing a handshake, but equally talking about things that are 5, 10, 15, 20 years on the horizon. So incredible chap, actually. And love to have him back on the podcast anytime, because fascinating to see him growing that GridServe business. Their first step outside the UK, incidentally. Okay, let's talk about BYD to start European production in 2025. BYD, the Chinese carmaker, is set to start making compact cars in Europe by late 2025 at least. Stella Lee, BYD's European head, said the first cars from their Hungary plant will be the Dolphin and the Atto 3. Now, the Dolphin is similar to VW's ID3, 60 kilowatt hour battery, WLTP range of 427 kilometers. In Germany, it starts at 33,000 euros. There is a cheaper version with a 15 kilowatt hour smaller battery, 45 kilowatt hour version that isn't available, but it will be. The Atto 3, well, that's an SUV. That has a 60 kilowatt hour battery too, LFP pack. Starts at 38,000 euros and 420 kilometers. WLTP range. Well, BYD's Hungary factory should start operating, aiming for late 2025, faster than planned, and they're now making their first models known, so that's a good sign. A small electric car will come as well, we think. And the company plans to make up to 12 models at the Hungary plant. BYD wants to only sell European-made cars in Europe, obviously stopping the imports from Europe, from China, and therefore avoiding any import duties. Other Asian brands like, you know, Hyundai, Toyota, they all mix importing versus local production. After a slow European start, BYD cut ties with the company in Germany who were doing their distribution, called Hedin, actually. They now sell direct, aiming for 120 German locations by next year, also launching the Sea Lion 7. It's a very fast-charging electric SUV. I think it's fair to say BYD probably hasn't had the success that they would have wanted to by now, by their own standards. They're also going to focus on plug-in hybrids in Europe as well, because they think it's people get used to charging a plug-in hybrid car and it wins them over more easily to go full EV. The €25,000 EV market is growing. Models like the Fiat Grand Panda, the Hyundai Inster, VW's ID2 in 2026, so very competitive at the cheaper end. So we'll see what small car BYD come with. All right, we'll take a quick break. When we come back, we will talk CES and a new electric van brand for the UK. Stick around, back in a mo. Well, thanks for sitting through the adverts, if you did, on the ad-supported free feed. And if you're one of my Patreon supporters, thank you so much for everything that you do to get this show on the air. Now, CES is going to showcase advancements in automotive software, more so than hardware this year. But industry experts warn that many innovations may be superficial. Why? Well, the event will feature in-car chatbots and the latest infotainment systems. Yet these flashy digital features often overshadow what some call critical issues. Now, Moritz Neukirchner from Electrobit emphasizes the need for change in software development practices rather than simply new technologies for the sake of it. Software-defined vehicles, which do things like receive over-the-air updates, are going to be crucial for car makers aiming to boost their revenue after they've sold the car to you and I. However, organizational habits, not technical challenges, he says, are the main hurdles in advancing software-defined vehicles. Well, Paul Thomas of Bosch North America points out that integration issues with hardware and software platforms from a diverse set of suppliers can be the issue. At CES, which has normally been, you know, consumer electronics and things like that, they think that there will be showing off more of the things that are going to go viral in terms of marketing rather than genuine innovation in the EV sector this year. So that's interesting. Maybe a few of the experts think there's not going to be any huge things to show off apart from some flashy graphics and some ChatGPT talking back to you in the car. Some EV insiders worry about companies focusing on these AI applications rather than practical solutions. Mike Quinn from Boston Consulting Group stresses the need for specific use cases, if you are going to put AI into an EV, that improve collaboration and integration as well. A software-defined vehicle has been talked a lot about by Rivian and VW recently. That partnership, that new joint venture between Rivian and Volkswagen, will characterize the next set of Volkswagens. Flexible software, updatable software, immediate feature activation. If the vehicle is hardware capable and you want to opt in for a monthly or yearly subscription, maybe it can be turned on instantly. Tesla leads in that kind of technology, managing different software versions across various models. But it is challenging, and successfully implementing that requires fundamental changes in how you organize yourself as a business. And car makers are recognizing the need for using fewer but more adaptable hardware components in their vehicles for greater flexibility. So, like, you know, I say Rivian second gen R1 vehicles demonstrates that approach. They've reduced the wiring, that lowers the weight, that saves on material costs, and it, you know, it is a kind of virtuous circle for Rivian. Now, despite understanding what has to be done, none of this is particularly new. Tesla's been doing it for a long time. Rivian and Volkswagen, very public about their partnership. Traditional car makers seem to still struggle because of established systems, cultures, legacy systems. While CES will probably feature some genuine problem-solving innovations, you know, Nvidia will be there, Qualcomm will be there, in terms of the EV side of it this year, it'll be a bit more spectacle rather than substance. So we'll wait and see. That's according to Automotive News, that article coming from. So that's, yeah, and they know what they're talking about. So we'll wait and see what comes out of CES. But it might not be anything this year that really moves the needle. But still, we like a flashy toy, don't we, to play with. Now, Geely's Farizon. Anyway, electric van brand is entering the UK, launching the SV, the supervan, aiming to rival the Ford Transit and the Vauxhall Vivaro. So it will have to go some, because those vans are much loved here in the UK. The SV is built on a platform where the batteries go under the cargo area. Three sizes, a small, medium and large size van between 5 and 6 metres long. The SV can carry up to 1,300 kilograms and 13 cubic metres of cargo space at launch. Battery size is up to 83 kilowatt hours. That's 225 miles of range. A big 106 kilowatt hour battery is planned. Inside, the SV will seat three up front with two screens, a small one for key info and a large touchscreen for entertainment. And UK models aren't confirmed yet, but China gets more options like 7, even 9-seat minibuses of this. So don't know the pricing, but the E-Transit Custom is a 45 grand vehicle. The Vivaro Electric is near a 50. And so Geely's Farizon. Sounds like I'm saying Verizon, doesn't it? The cell network, F-A-R-I-Z-O-N. Farizon? I don't know. Part of Geely, which of course is Volvo, Polestar, Lotus, London Black Cabs and more. It's their first step into vans in the UK. Wait and see what happens there. Now, Genesis is set to launch their GV60 Magma. That is their sub-brand, their high-performance electric car. They announced it back in March. The GV60 Magma is based on the original luxury EV. GV60, I think, is vastly underrated. It's a brilliant vehicle. Debuted in 2021. Really nice to be inside. Great materials and fabrics and luxury inside it, but also built on a fantastic fast-charging platform. The Magma will have a better battery, they say. Physically, different battery, different motors, and a different design to give sharper handling. The car has a lower stance, a wider front, more air intakes, different tyres, and it will have Magma branding as well. Do they need to do that? I don't know. I mean, it's nice to have it as an option, but I think Genesis should lean into their luxury side a bit more. If you're going to do a special edition, I would do a super special edition of a Genesis for those people that want more of that Nappa leather or more of the animal-free interiors with really nice material choice, maybe, and all the gadgets and toys rather than one, you know, that can rip your face off. Like, most EVs' performance is adequate, but we'll wait and see. It's got all, you know, the orange brake calipers and a big rear spoiler. The GV60 Magma will launch in South Korea in 2025 and then go to Europe and other markets as well. Genesis says the production model will look like the concept version after the GV60 Magma. Genesis plans more high-performance models, a fast version of the G80 as well, to compete with the Tesla Model S Plaid. Now, Hyundai Germany has begun accepting orders this week for the Insta. That is a very compact electric vehicle. Starts at €24,000. The version with a big battery is 25.5. The Insta will be available in four trims: the Select, the Trend, the Cross, and the Prime. The Select and Trend come with a small battery and a 71 kilowatt hour motor. The small battery is 42 kilowatt hours, by the way, so not that small. But you can get the big battery, which is not that big, 49 kilowatt hours. And all the trims can come with it. So it's what I love about what the Hyundais and the Kias do, is if you want, you can get the base trim, because I think they're still very well appointed with the big battery, which would be my play if I got a Kia EV3. Oh, here he goes, talking about the Kia EV3 again. Give it a rest, podcast boy. Okay, if I were to buy the Kia EV3, I would do that. Base spec, which is still very well appointed, like I say, but with the big 81 kilowatt hour pack. All the range. Nice enough car, very little money. But anyway, this is not that. This is the Hyundai Insta Casper in its home market, but over here it'll be the Insta. Deliveries will be early 2025. 3.8 metres long, 1.6 metres wide. Still decent cargo space as well, up to 351 litres, and WLTP range up to 370 kilometres, or 327 kilometres with the smaller battery. Yes, it only charges at 85 kilowatts, but what do you want for a cheap city car? So Hyundai says the Insta includes various safety features, all the stuff. They throw loads of the safety stuff at it. The lane keep, adaptive cruise, forward collision alert, a rear view camera, traffic sign recognition that complies with all the EU regulations now. And you can obviously disable all that stuff and the bings and the bongs. But like I say, starting at €24,000 for the select trim small battery, I'd go select trim big battery, €25,500. And you get a lot of car for not a lot of money. In Norway, of course, you benefit as well from VAT exemptions for electric vehicles. There'd be five trim levels in the Norwegian market, but only the top four get the big battery. So you can do an even lower trim, in Norway. But look, digital cockpit with a 10.3-inch display. It's not like these cheaper EVs that are completely stripped out where they think you're going to use your phone as the main device. It's not that at all. Heated folding side mirrors, big nav system, automatic aircon, Apple CarPlay, Android Auto. You name it, it's got it. I love these cheaper cars that are coming. Now, people aren't buying cheaper EVs at the moment. People say have been saying for years, we want cheap EVs. And then the car companies are coming with them and people are still buying premium EVs. So that might change in 2025. Okay, here's a car that you probably won't be buying, and that's the Lotus Evija, because they've started deliveries of the Lotus Evija. 2,000 horsepower, 4 years late to the party. They showed it off in mid-2019, due sort of mid-pandemic, so it all got pushed back. The first Evija went to its owner a little while ago now, so I don't know how many they have sold, but they do say that they're building it at their Hethel plant, handmade in deepest, darkest Norfolk, where they make the Emira. And they don't even give the 0-62 time. I'm sure they do, but they don't focus on that. The Evija is so fast, they give the 0-190 miles an hour time, which is 9.1 seconds. Insane car. Brilliant. Love it. Congratulations to anyone who's getting the however many 130 cars of that they are making. Now, just a quick mention for a bit more Australian news. I know we did a couple of Aussie stories earlier, but this is a plug-in hybrid one. I know not so many people listen to this podcast for plug-in hybrid stuff, but you know, it is, depending on how you use plug-in hybrids, I think we should talk about them. The fringe benefits tax, the FBT in Australia, the exemption for plug-in hybrids, is going, by the way, April next year. So that exemption, which applies to vehicles under the luxury car tax threshold through a lease, has boosted plug-in hybrid sales in Australia, but that goes. So if you want to buy one, take advantage quickly. BYD Shark 6, Ford Ranger plug-in hybrid, BYD Sea Lion 6, I think it's a plug-in hybrid over there. And so that doesn't look like the exemption will be continued. And so hopefully, you know, that sunset clause for the FEVs, that was a condition of passing the electric car discount bill a couple of years ago. And so that exemption is being removed. I think plug-in hybrids will still sell in the Australian market, by the way. But if you are, after that particular incentive, be quick. A quick mention for a big story that's gone round the houses this week, and that's Tesla's event on October the 10th, We Robot. Talked about the robo-taxi and all that kind of stuff. And before Tesla's Q3 earnings report, investors were asking about a budget-friendly vehicle at $25,000. Elon Musk's the CEO, so it'd be stupid to do a $25,000 vehicle. They're not going to do that. He cancelled that platform development that the smaller vehicle was going to be on. This week, Deutsche Bank analysts reported that Tesla's head of investor relations, Travis Axelrod, revealed to them the plans for the Tesla Model Q. So, of course, the world went mad over the Tesla Model Q. All the EV press has gone mad for it. I haven't reported on it for days because there's really nothing to tell you. This is a Deutsche Bank analyst report. They've called it the Model Q. That's not Tesla. They said it'll be under $30,000. Tesla didn't say that. They said it'll be, you know, other details. That it will be, 15% fewer materials or 30% fewer materials. They named a bunch of very specific things. And then Deutsche Bank, it's 30% lighter. That was it. 15% smaller, 30% lighter than a Model 3. About the same size as an electric Mini. Two variants, single motor rear-wheel drive, dual motor all-wheel drive with a 75 kilowatt-hour battery. And I haven't talked about it because it must all be nonsense. And I'll tell you why. Because the idea that the CFO of Tesla had a private meeting with Deutsche Bank who then put out this report that, again, everyone's taken as gospel, that Travis Axelrod told his little mates at Deutsche Bank some exclusive privilege information so that they could go do some insider trading. That is an incredibly quick way for Mr. Axelrod to go to prison for a very, very long time. It's unthinkable that he privately briefed Deutsche Bank, spilled the beans, as it were, and that they put out this analyst report giving us all the details. Firstly, Tesla aren't going to do a product launch without Elon Musk in a million years. They don't let the CEO do it, the CFO, sorry, do it behind closed doors. Also, I'm pretty sure that the CFO of Tesla knows not to do insider trading and to tell his little buddies at Deutsche Bank all the details, which they then put out in a, you know, somewhat later than they make public. So all of these details, which you may have seen flying around if you follow EV Media, you may have seen that flying around this week. I've kind of discounted all of it because if any of it is true, they go to prison for a really long time. And it's one of the easier crimes to prove, right? Look at the former CEO of Nikola Motor, for instance. He's serving a very long prison sentence at the moment. It's not a particularly, you know, the financial crime side of it, the investor side, is not a hard one to find people guilty of. And so it's unthinkable that the CEO spilled the beans. So a lot of this is just speculation by a bank, but it's been taken as gospel. And so I've not told you about it, but I want you to know that I've seen it. We've talked about it. Let's move on. Finally, the UK EV industry should be incentivized by taxing combustion, by carbon. William Brown, who runs International Motors, wants the UK government to bring back the rewards for people buying EVs, incentives for buying EVs. He thinks money should come from taxes on petrol and diesel cars. The old reward system, which gave up to, well, what did it end at? 1,500 quid? It was like 3,000, 4,000, 5,000, 6,000 at one point. Ended in 2022. It was gradually ramping down. The government wants 28% of new cars sold next year to be zero emission. Plus minus, it's like a point system. It's not exactly that, but either way. And he says, why don't you tax the carbon industry and give those incentives to buy an EV? Actual grants, money, you know, cash on the hood, as some people call it. I think it's very interesting. Not the way Norway's done it. Norway's done it by taking off things like VAT, which is an effective 20% discount if our government took VAT off EVs. But I wouldn't say no if the government listened to that advice and gave money to buy an EV by taxing petrol and diesel extra. Not sure they would. I don't think politicians see that as a vote winner, as they say. And that's your podcast for today. Thanks to our premium partners, Porsche of the Village in Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, and Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East, National Car Charging on the US mainland and Aloha Charge in Hawaii, Derek Riley from Nevo.ie and the Nevo EV Review Island YouTube channel, and Octopus Electroverse, global public charging made simple with one app and one map. Have a good and see you tomorrow. And remember, there's no such thing as a self-charging hybrid. We'll be right back.